Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 12. And it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the first story coming from chapter 3 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The sequel. The title of the podcast today is Road Warrior. In honor of our fallen colleague, Jackie Bowen, take a listen to a previously recorded testimony that she gave as a part of our Inspirational Book Club promotion.
The Inspirational Book Club is not just about discussing books. It's also about hearing testimonies from participants. They are just so inspirational. Listen to this.
Event was about 2 years ago. I was really sick. I was diagnosed, and the doctors were saying all this bleak stuff. But you know what? After the diagnosis and everything, right there on the spot, I'm not even exaggerating. I wasn't afraid.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't sad. I wasn't saying, why me? I wasn't nervous. The first thing I thought of was, I'm going to beat this. I got God. I'm going to make it through. It was not easy. I was sick as a dog. I was in and out of the hospital the whole while. In and out of the hospital. When I wasn't in the hospital, I was sick. But I tell you what, I held on to that belief. I knew God had me. I knew I was going to make it. I don't care how sick I got. I made it. And I'm here to testify on behalf of God. I held on. I tell you, I know. If I didn't know what y'all already did, I know now. But I'm here to let you know, it was my faith and belief that brought me through. It really was. Because if I'd listened to doctors and all these naysayers and going by what's written, you know, all this and that, I wouldn't have made it. I held on. I didn't get scared. I never felt sorry for myself. I was just holding on the whole while. No matter how weak I got, no matter how bad things got, I just knew I was going to make it, and I did. And I thank God for it. And that's what I have to say. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's Give great. God the glory.
Yes.
Every day. Every day.
As I said, so inspirational.
We will start our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Maggie faced a long and lonely road of now seeing her father in a different light, as a paraplegic who needed constant care. Although her mother would be his primary caregiver, Maggie was intent on doing her share of supporting him from a distance. When Matthew received the grim news from Dr. Taylor, he took it in stride and mainly wanted to avoid becoming a burden on his family. But Maggie saw it as a responsibility, not a burden, to help her father. It was a challenge for sure, especially given that she was the director of her daycare and wanted to keep the love of her life, husband Fred, happy under the most trying of circumstances. She would need to travel from Chicago, that is, from Central Heights, to Flint on many weekends to do whatever she could for her father. Maggie was committed to being a road warrior as she faced the prospect of making the 4-hour drive in all kinds of weather, even when faced with fatigue from a week's work at her daycare center. It helped a great deal that her niece Mary could fill in for her whenever she was absent from her business. Of course, Mary had ulterior motives of her own. She felt it was an opportunity to gain valuable experience that she would need to eventually establish her own daycare someday. After a couple of years of occasional visits, more and more often Maggie would take the drive from the Chicago area to Flint after work on Friday afternoons. She would leave at 3 o'clock because this was the time when the parents of her babies picked them up. It usually took an hour to prepare for the trip, and she would be on the road, leaving from Central Heights by 4 o'clock. By leaving at that time, it allowed her to avoid rush hour traffic when it would take what seemed to be forever to get from the Chicago metro area to Flint. But Maggie would always miss all that traffic, that is. And after a long drive, she would arrive at her parents' house by early evening. On one particular weekend, Missy greeted Maggie as she arrived, as she always did. "Oh, come in, Maggie. I'm so glad to see you again this weekend. Matthew has been talking about you all week." Missy and Maggie communicated by phone a lot during the week, and Missy knew Maggie would visit at the end of the work week, as she did on most weekends. On this particular weekend, Maggie spent much of the time just talking with her parents and trying to keep Matthew as upbeat as possible. For some time, Maggie's visits consisted of mainly talking with her mother about any number of things. Though it was not her intent, she found that it was difficult, very difficult even, to be with her father for any length of time. She just couldn't adapt to being in his presence for long because of his disabled condition. But she had made a commitment to herself to help him as much as possible. Somehow, she would gain the strength to be with her father and to do her part to uplift him, at least as much as she could bear. One day, after she had arrived, Maggie found herself alone with Matthew, longer than usual. Missy had gone into the kitchen to prepare dinner. There they were, just the two of them, father and daughter, alone together. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Maggie and Matthew were watching TV when suddenly her father said to her, "Maggie, turn that set off and come over here a minute. I've looked at enough TV during the week, and you are not here with me often, and so let's not look at TV, but let's just talk a little bit." "Okay, Daddy," Maggie responded. Then she went over and sat in a chair beside him. Then Matthew began to speak to her. "I sure wish you could sit on my lap like you used to." You don't want to do that, do you?" Not really knowing whether her father was serious or not, or just playing around, Maggie said back to him, "Oh, Daddy, I'm a grown woman now. If I sat on your lap, I think both of us would end up on the floor. And that's because I don't think this wheelchair is strong enough to hold both of us." Then Matthew responded, not being able to turn back the clock, you might say, "Well, okay, I understand." After realizing it could never be like it used to be, he continued to tell her, "Maggie, do you remember when you were small and I used to tell you and your sister Sadie stories about the lamb that Mary had? Like in the Mary Had a Little Lamb song? You remember that?" "Yeah, Daddy, I do. I was so small at the time, but I really enjoyed that song. And I think Sadie did too," Maggie responded. Then Maggie blurted out, "Oh, Daddy, I really miss Sadie so much." Then Matthew responded, Well, little one, we all do. But anyway, getting back to the song, Mary Had a Little Lamb, I sang that same song to your older brothers and sisters when they were small, long before you two came along. And I think they enjoyed it too. Anyway, when I sang it to you and Sadie years later, if I remember right, the song was about the lamb following Mary wherever she went. Well, the lamb followed her because it loved Mary. And that's the way it is now with me. Let me tell you what I mean. As strange as it might seem, in real life, the lamb represents God, and Mary represents his child. Well, God follows us like that. Like that lamb followed Mary in the song. Because he loves us, Matthew said. Matthew paused for a moment as if he was thinking about even more wisdom he could impart on his daughter. Then he said, "Yeah, God follows you and me, little one, and he's always near us. But what's more important than that is what God has put in us, and that's the Holy Spirit. You do remember that, don't you, from Sunday school?" "Yes, Daddy, I remember all that," Maggie replied. "Okay, then," Matthew responded to her reply. Then he continued to say, "Now, that's not just a nice little Sunday school story that the teacher asked you to learn. I mean, you did have to learn that, didn't you?" Matthew asked her. Then Maggie answered, "Of course, Daddy. We did what the teacher told us to do, at least most of the time. We had to learn that and a lot of other biblical stories and verses, too." Matthew, being unclear about what she meant with a phrase that she had just used, said back to her, "What do you mean, most of the time, little one?" Then Maggie, almost ashamedly, said to her dad, with her head hanging down, "Well, I have to tell you, Daddy, I really didn't know a lot of what we had to remember back then. I mean, what it all meant. And the funny thing is, well, I guess it's not that funny, but I'll tell you anyway. There was this one teacher we had who we sometimes made a lot of fun of. And that's what I mean by saying most of the time. Most of the time we were respectful to the lady, but sometimes we weren't. I mean, there were times when we were just plain disrespectful to Ms. Jones. That was her name. We just couldn't help ourselves, I guess. In hindsight, I don't think she was experienced enough to handle us kids at the time, Daddy. We used to whisper and snicker about almost anything. I mean, she had these thick eyeglasses, and she appeared as though she couldn't see half the time. I remember one Sunday morning, Sadie got a pair of Mama's old reading glasses just for the purpose of taking them to Sunday school and picking on that lady. I used to feel so bad for Ms. Jones, Daddy." "Well, Daddy, you know how Sadie was. It's a wonder Ms. Jones didn't throw me and Sadie out of the class. Well, to be frank about it, it's a wonder she didn't throw all of us out, because we all picked on her a lot." "Well, little one, if Miss Jones had thrown all of you out of that class, she wouldn't have had a class to teach," Matthew responded with a smile. Then he continued to say, "But you know, if I remember, at that time she had just lost her husband. That may have been why she appeared as she did." Then suddenly, looking away from Maggie, he said to himself, "At one time she was a nice-looking mama." "I mean, lady," Matthew said, while trying to correct himself, while returning his attention to Maggie, all the while looking around, making sure Missy didn't hear him. Then Matthew continued to say, "But getting back to Sadie, I do remember that sister of yours. Now, she was a character, all right. and some of the language she used, well, we sure didn't teach her to say some of the things she said, and some of the things she did at times either, for that matter. But Sadie was Sadie. Then, after a brief pause, he continued to say, "Yeah, we all miss that sister of yours," he said with some emotion. Then Matthew quickly snapped out of his sadness and said to Maggie, "Well, anyway, little one, regardless of how Miss Jones looked in that Sunday school class, she knew a lot more than you all did at the time, and she wouldn't have done that. I mean, she wouldn't have thrown you out of the class because I'm sure she understood that you and the others were going through a growth process, spiritually. But being just kids, you all just didn't know what you were doing at the time." Then Matthew continued to tell her, "You know, baby girl, we grown-ups are like that too sometimes. I mean, we are disrespectful to each other at times, just like you all reacted toward Miss Jones. We all do things sometimes we shouldn't do. But you know what? God forgives us anyway, if we're truly sorry for our actions. And you know, little one, He also knows at some point we'll come to see the light. At least most of us will. But listen, baby girl, I sure didn't know you did all that. In Sunday school, no less. But anyway, back then was then. But we're in the now. And I'm sure you've learned a lot since then. And have matured, too. I mean, we all have as we've grown older. Anyway, back to the story I was telling you about. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, I remember. We were talking about the Holy Spirit being within us. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think God basically put himself within us? The Holy Spirit, I mean. Maggie paused and thought about it for a moment, and then, taking too long to respond for his liking, Matthew went ahead and gave her the answer. It's to protect us, the Lamb of God, who we all know as Jesus. Yeah, Jesus protects us from whatever we might face. And the reason for that, little one, is that he wants only the best for us. We only have to believe that. "I understand, Daddy," Maggie responded. Then Matthew said, "So, Maggie, it may be difficult for you to see me in this wheelchair right now, being a cripple, but only good can come out of it, because God lives within me, as well as within your mother. And he lives in you too. And not just us, that spirit lives in anybody who believes him, believes what he says. And you do believe him, don't you?" "Of course, Daddy," Maggie replied. Always being the sensitive type, Maggie was affected greatly by what her father was saying. While she realized what he said was true, she still couldn't get over the fact that he could not do now what she had always known him as being able to do. In her estimation, he could no longer walk and show physical strength as the head of the household. Then, with tears in her eyes, she said to her father, "Daddy, I know you're right, but it still hurts seeing you this way." Matthew then leaned over toward Maggie, trying to hold back tears himself. He leaned as much as he could, being confined to a wheelchair, and gave her a big hug and said, "I know, little one," referring to Maggie as he had when she was small when he first sang that song to her. Then he declared, "Yeah, you will see me out of this wheelchair one day, walking around as before. And you know why I say that, Maggie?" he asked. Without giving her a chance to answer, Matthew answered his own question. He said, "It's because that's a desire I have. And the word says," no, let me rephrase that. "It promises that you will have whatever you desire if you truly believe. That is, believe in your spirit. In other words, Maggie, if you sincerely believe that you will have something, whatever it might be, then at some point, you will get it. You will get whatever you desire to have. You can depend on that, because that's what it says in God's Word. While encouraged by her father, Maggie's facial expression showed that she did not understand much of what he was saying. Matthew sensed her confusion, so he repeated what he had just said and what he proclaimed when he first learned of his condition. He said, "And I still believe, Maggie, that I will walk again." At that time, Missy yelled to tell them that the food was ready. But what Maggie had heard from her father would be food for her soul that would last for years to come. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. As they sat at the dinner table, Matthew had blessed the food when the phone rang. Maggie rushed over to answer it, anticipating that it would be Fred calling. He usually called her at some point during the time when she was at her parents' house over the weekend. "Hello?" Maggie said while trying to get her emotions together from the discussion she just had with her father. "Hello, Meg. How are you doing?" Fred said in greeting her. Maggie simply said, "Hey, Fred, I'm fine." Fred quickly asked, "You sure you're okay, Mac? You sure don't sound like yourself," he stressed. "It sounds like you're depressed about something." Then Maggie seemed to have snapped out of it and perked up and said, "No, Fred, I'm fine." She reassured him, trying to hide her feelings. The feelings that resulted from the talk she had with her father. "I hope you are doing well. And how's everything around the house?" she asked. "Everything's fine, Mac. And how are your parents?" "And tell them I said hello." "They're fine, Fred, and I'll make sure they know you ask about them," Maggie replied. Maggie and Fred talked for a while longer before they ended their conversation. Then she said, "I love you. Lots of kisses." "Love you too, and I'll see you when you get back. Bye," Fred responded. "Bye, Fred," Maggie replied and ended the conversation. Then she returned to the dinner table and resumed her meal with her parents. As for Fred, it meant more and more lonely time on the weekends whenever Maggie was away in Flint, electing to visit her parents and care for her father in his time of hardship. Fortunately for Fred, his immersion in writing took most of his time. It also took his mind off of the fact that she was not at home with him on most weekends, at least on weekends when he was not working, either on a project relating to his work at MEFCO or writing on a book. As for Maggie, Matthew became more and more comfortable in his daughter's visits and, with help from Mincy, was adapting well to his new lifestyle as a disabled person. One trip that Maggie made to Flint resulted in a detour from her normal plans for the visit. On this occasion, she left Central Heights early Friday morning, as she was in the process of giving more and more responsibility for running the daycare to her niece, Mary, especially on Fridays when she traveled to Flint. On this planned visit to her hometown, Maggie stopped in Detroit and went by Faith Methodist, where her deceased husband, John, had pastored. Maggie remembered the good time she had at her old stomping grounds. She spent an hour or two meeting old friends and acquaintances before continuing her trip to Flint. On that visit, she saw Sandra, who was still the lead administrator at the church, a position Maggie once held several years earlier. After Maggie entered the sanctuary, she went directly to the church office. As she walked in, Sandra was startled to see her old supervisor. "Hello, Maggie. I'm so surprised to see you. How have you been?" she asked. "Hello, Sandra," Maggie replied. "I'm fine, and it looks like you're doing just fine here, too, Sandra." "Well, it has its ups and downs, as you are well aware. This place can be quite hectic, you know," Sandra responded. "Yeah, that's true, but that's the case wherever you might work," Maggie replied. Then Sandra added, "Oh, by the way, I still can't believe your husband's passing. It was so sudden. I know we all here at the church have missed him so much. He was such a good pastor." "And are you okay, Maggie? I understand that you as well as your parents were in that accident, too." "Yes, Sandra. They're fine, and I'm okay, too. But things happen to everyone from time to time. And usually it turns out to be the best for us. At least that's what the Bible says. Let me rephrase that. It says that everything, and I do mean everything that happens to us, will work out for our good. If you love God. At any rate, life goes on, Sandra," Maggie said. "By the way, you do know that I've remarried," Maggie informed her. "Yes, I've heard," Sandra responded. Then she continued, "I know he's a good catch, whoever he might be." "Yes, he is," Maggie replied, "and I would like for you to meet him sometimes," she continued. Before getting into any further detail, Maggie decided that she should end the conversation and move on. With that, she said to Sandra, "Well, I'm just passing through on my way to Flint. My father had a terrible accident over the Christmas holidays a few months back, and I'm on my way to see him." Sandra responded, "Oh, I'm so sorry about that, Maggie. You know, it's good to have parents to care for. I never had that privilege. I mean, my father left home when I was a baby, and my mother passed when I was very small. So you're fortunate, Maggie." "Yeah. I have to admit, Sandra, I've been blessed despite the things that have happened in my life," Maggie said. "Hey, maybe you can come with me and meet my parents as well as my husband sometime. I know my parents would be happy to see you, especially since you were directly connected to John when he selected you to work here with me before I left. By the way, too bad I didn't stay here along with you. While I got my start at Mark Methodist back in Flint, Faith Methodist has a special place in my heart. But like I said, life goes on." Sandra replied, "Yes, life does go on, Maggie. And I must say, life has been good to me. And I've always been grateful for your husband giving me this opportunity. Your deceased husband, I mean. I learned so much working with Pastor John, and I learned a lot from you too, Maggie. And yes, I would be happy to meet your new husband, as well as your parents. Just let me know the best time." "Okay, Sandra," Maggie said. Then she agreed to tell her a good time. Maggie told her, "Don't worry, I will let you know, and it will be sooner than later when I do that." Then Maggie changed the subject when she regrettably announced, "Well, it's time for me to go now, Sandra. It won't be too long before I talk to you again, and when I do, I can let you know the best time you can come with me to visit my folks." "Okay, Maggie, call me anytime, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Bye, Sandra." With that, the two former workmates left each other. Maggie was thankful that she was led to enhance her relationship with Sandra. Seeing her again, after everything that had happened with John Jr., conjured up some strange feelings within her being. But she was determined to let the past remain in the past and make a fresh start, beginning with Sandra being a good friend, maybe even a best friend. She remembered her being as much when they worked together back at the church. Anyway, now it was time for Maggie to make the short trip from Detroit to Flint to commune with her parents for the rest of the weekend. We're going to take a break now, and when we return, we'll finish the show. Welcome back. Yes, Maggie would be a road warrior, intent on seeing after her father. And yes, she cared for her father and adored her mother, Missy. But that was a part of her upbringing, honoring her parents. Among the many scriptures that Maggie remembered while growing up attending her home church of Mark Methodist was the one that promises a long life when giving honor to parents and to those who are in charge of our care while growing up. That scripture is Exodus, the 20th chapter and the 12th verse, where it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." In the coming weeks, the problem Maggie will have, however, is the risk of her flesh getting in the way of sound judgment, despite good intentions. That is to say, it would be increasingly a challenge for Maggie to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit that her father had talked about earlier. Well, we'll see how far her good intentions will get her in coming episodes. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.